I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The radio home of your Atlantic Division champion, Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Sabres take game number 3-1 the final, taking a 2-1 series lead in this best of seven in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals as we welcome you in to the postgame. Brian Colziel with you. Thanks for being with us. How about a third period for the Sabres? They come through with the go-ahead goal from Alex Tuck and then sealing it with the empty netter from Noah Osland. How about the return from Noah Osland? Big-time performance for him. He makes a huge play to set up Bo Byram to get Buffalo on the board. And then outworking a couple of Bruins, outskating a couple of Bruins on that empty net play. What work to get it done into the empty net with 1:24 left to seal it for the Sabres to give them a 3-1 victory and a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 is in Boston on Sunday at 2 p.m. So we've got some build-up before we get to that. As we welcome you in to the postgame show, I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for being with us here on the Sabres Radio Network. Coming up, we're going to be heading back to TD Garden up in the media room at the podium. We're going to hear from both head coaches. Marco Sturm will be first, then Lindy Ruff. So those will be coming in just, the next 5 minutes or so. So stick with us. Then we'll hear from the Sabres in the room from Alex Lyon and Alex Tuck. And then Paul will also have some locker room interviews as well after all that is taken care of. And we'll get Paul Hamilton's final take. We'll read tweets. We'll get connected with our fans with phone calls as well. You can give us a call, 803-0550. Calls a little bit later after we get all to the locker room sound. So if you want to get in, we will take calls. But if you don't want to sit on hold for the next 20 minutes or so here, we will have locker room sound, which is starting now. Here's Marco Sturm live in Boston, first up after his 3-1 loss.
Marco, was this a matter of getting goalied tonight, or was there more you could have done to take away Lyon's eyesight?
No, he played good, but it was not, it was not the issue. I think it was, for some reason, first of all, they were just a little bit better than us, I gotta say. I thought we were a little tight right from the start. I could see a little bit on the power play too. So, but we were in the game and we were fine. But just those little mistakes, cost us the second goal there. But other than that, it was just unfortunate because we were really excited to be at home, and for some reason, like I said, we didn't play the way we did game 1 and 2.
Luke, Jim, and Tom, and Fluto.
Marco, Tuck's elbow to Mason's face, and moments later the goal is scored. Is that a penalty in your mind?
I didn't see it yet. Yes, I just saw it obviously behind the bench, but I didn't have a close look yet, so I can't really comment on that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We had to. I don't know how many times we touched that puck before they scored, and we just couldn't get the job done to get the puck out.
The one area I would say in this series that Buffalo's really had an advantage is in the third. Do you think that's something where they're doing something particularly special, or you guys are falling short? What do you think is the issue there?
I don't know. I really don't think about third periods. It's just, could have gone either way. If game 1, we still managed the game. Game 2, so yeah. I mean, things happen, but I'm not too worried about going into in a third period and think about we're gonna lose the game. That's for sure.
Marco, in the third period on that last power play, what made you decide to put Victor Arvidsson on that first unit?
Yeah, because they struggled. They just couldn't get anything going, that's why we made that change.
Obviously, part of the playoffs is making the opposing goalie feel uncomfortable in the net. But have you been surprised at all at the level of contact they've allowed on Swayman through the series without any calls or anything like that?
Yeah, no. We addressed it. Happened today again. again, that's one way they try to do, and they've been doing it for three games. It just seems like they didn't get a call yet, so I'm waiting too. But it's obviously not in my control.
Dupes, then Jimmy.
Marco, the one goal you get is when you're banging bodies down there. Janot, Kastelic, really causing some disruption back there. The rest of the night, there wasn't a lot of action around the net. This is the time of year for greasy goals. We didn't see your guys around there really causing some havoc and frankly, making the night as miserable for their goalie as it was for yours. Disappoint you? Can you generate more of that?
Yeah, we can. You're right. We did a better job game one, game two in their building, playing more behind them. For some reason, we didn't do it as much. Today, we had the one line going. You're absolutely right. They did their job, got rewarded with one big goal, but we didn't have enough today. And that's just not going to do it in the playoffs.
Marco, the missed penalty shot was a big momentum turn for you guys. Did you feel it on the bench that it was deflating when he missed that and then it turned around, they scored?
Well, I didn't feel it right away. Yes, it was a big swing, absolutely. Now looking back, it cost us a few big minutes there, especially before the period end. We were just, the bench was not the same, let's put it that way. We felt good. I mean, it's a tie game. I know there's a lot of up and downs in this playoffs, in this hockey game. So we just got to make sure we handle it the right way.
Josh, then Bridget.
Marco, you guys steal one in Buffalo. Now it's obviously 2-1 back on serve, so to speak. What's the message to your guys here going into one more home game coming up on Sunday?
We just got to, again, put this one behind. We're going to... We're going to address it the next few days again, areas where we can do better, and then we're going to bounce back. We've done it all year long. I think that's going to be the biggest message. Nothing really changes. We did it in Buffalo. We did it all season long. We always bounce back, and we're still in a pretty good spot.
Did you feel like you guys generated enough offense 5-on-5? And in particular, how did you feel of the chances generated by your top six?
Could be more, and again, it goes back to a few of the questions. We didn't do enough today, unfortunately, and that's why, there were just not too many probably chances around the paint a little bit, and that's an area we have to get better, that's for sure.
Last question, Dupes.
Late in the third there, you had Elias out and Arvey was in. Was that because of injury, or did you want a different look?
Do you want to hear the truth or not? Because I can tell you. No, we wanted to change something. Desperate times, even on a power play, we had the chance there. Even the one before, we just didn't connect. And, at this point, we always want to try something different.
All right, that is Bruins coach Marco Sturm. We know the air quality of that is not perfect. We are hoping that maybe we can get it perfect, but live radio from Boston, we'd rather have you get it live and get it here. So we'll hopefully it'll get better. That's what we could hope for here. Wires and internet all involved, as you would guess, but we're hoping it'll sound a little bit better here. But you can hear what Marco Sturm said there. Look, he didn't like his team today. He's like, we didn't bring it. We got to shake it off, go back. He doesn't sound like he has some sort of massive change in plan upcoming. I am surprised of how he said that. He's pretty much like, I'm still waiting for a call on Swayman with all the contact. Like, I think the contact from both teams on both goalies have been pretty much the same. So kind of surprised that he's, he's obviously looking for calls by saying that publicly. He's not, saying that for any other reason, that he's hoping that it gets out there, that it becomes a storyline, and that the officials maybe will become a little bit more aware of that throughout the remainder of the series. To be honest, I just think, the Sabres are around the net. That is what Benson does. That is what Zucker does. That's what Doan does. This is what we've been watching from the Sabre team all year. I don't think it's anything egregious. I know that I might be looking at it from watching the Sabres all year, but I'm not watching these games thinking like, ooh, they're getting away with things in the crease area. So I think Sturm is just angling for calls, protecting his goalie. Swayman's been amazing. If you said, like, pick the best player in these three games, I'm probably going to pick Swayman. And that's even with the Bruins having a 2-1 deficit in the series. And, you know, I think the Sabres, look at how different Buffalo played when they got the lead. Look at how different they were able to play. It seemed stress-free. It seemed like the Sabre team that we've seen throughout the second half of the season when they've played so well. The Bruins really couldn't do much. I don't think Boston, honestly, has a whole bunch in the tank in terms of maybe like throwing the gauntlet of offense at the Sabres. They've got a great line, and Pasternak and Geeky and Lindholm on that line. And if the Sabres can defend them, I think they're going to be able to win the series. I really do. Because I think Boston's depth lines 2, 3, 4 in terms of offensive firepower is not at the same level of Buffalo's offensive depth line 2, 3, 4. And I just think it's been so cliche. We said it after game one. We said it again after game two. If the Sabres can just get the early lead, they have yet to get the first goal in this series. Boston has scored first in every single game so far in this series. And Buffalo has not scored in the first period, even in any of these series here. Now, you go back to game one. Their first goal came 52 minutes and 2 seconds into the game. Game two, Buffalo's first goal comes 53 minutes and 52 seconds into game two. And then tonight, let's see, 20 plus 10, 58. That's 30 minutes and 58 seconds. So almost 31 minutes before they score again, or before Buffalo scores. And that was just to tie it. But a huge sequence, the penalty shot. Sturm did say it was a big swing, even on the bench. They said the bench was not the same. But if you think about that, you know, Buffalo, the bad break, it's all you can say. Samuelson tries to clear it. His stick breaks in half. Dahlin feels like, I got to slash Arvidsson here because he's going in all alone on my goalie. All right, I'm fine with it. Buffalo's penalty kill was good. And the officials decide to award a penalty shot, which I also was fine with. I didn't have any trouble with that. And Lyon comes up with that save. He does get a piece of it with the waffle. So that turned out very, very nice there in that case. So that's a swing. If Boston scores there and it's 2-0, the pressure that the Sabres would have felt, I think, would have been enormous. Not to say that they didn't have time to come back, but that's a big lift. Okay, we got the save. We got away. We had a terrible break go our way. It led to a penalty shot with the sequence of the play.
Can you take us through
goaltender came up big.
Your mindset on the penalty shot and later on, how you saw it develop
that
there?
That penalty
comes
shot
down.
Occurred at 9:50.
Really dangerous
so
player.
A minute eight later. That's a nice response.
Don't your tips. I try not Sabres to overthink the penalty shot too much. Kind of the same situation as a shootout, and just try to kind of be in the moment. And
for the most part, that's a huge swing because then at 10:15,
you know, that's when
scores,
practice comes through.
Okay,
so
Alex
you just got
to
trust your instincts and lean on those.
We go to Boston.
What did you think about the way this club performed in the third period and kind of seemed to parlay the momentum of that play? Got the game even, and you know, took over in the third.
Yeah, definitely felt pretty similar to kind of when we were rolling after Olympic break. We would really lock it down in the third period, and I think we did an unbelievable job of that. Even killing, I think we did a great job killing, and managed to Tucky managed to give us the lead there, and we did a good job of just. Finding a way through it, and happy for the guys, and appreciate the hard work.
This question's for Alex Tuck. What was key for your team's penalty kill, particularly in the third period with the calls against Dahlin and Thompson, protecting that 2-1 lead?
Just kind of locking it down, being aggressive when we could, causing turnovers, but also not giving up seams and blocking shots when we had to, and like I said, pressuring when we found the opportunity.
Alex Tuck got on the PK. What's the confidence level? That's been a staple of your team all season in those late game situations. Do you guys, is there talk on the bench? Is there just knowing yourself that you can kill whatever comes late in the game like that?
Yeah, no, we have some confidence. I thought our PK has been really good all year. Obviously, they've gotten a couple power play goals this series that we'd like to have back, and we're just trying to see their tendencies and react, and not change too much because we have had success in the penalty kill this year. And but yeah, just play with that confidence, knowing we're going to go out there and try to make it hell on the opponent and on their power play.
Alex Lyon, at what point did you feel that you were pretty locked in? Obviously, it's a pretty crazy building. They're chanting your name out there, and you got tested early. Like, at what point did you feel like you were in a pretty good position?
I think getting in for a few minutes of the last game was really helpful. It's been, before that, it was probably 2 weeks since I had played. So just to get the feel of the game, and I think that kind of set me up nicely for today. I think that we came in with a great mindset, and you could feel it in the room of that we were just going to send it for 60 minutes and kind of... that's all you can do, you know, and so I think we did a really good job of that. We were engaged right from the start, and I felt confident, and that's just what you're searching for, and the team gave me confidence, and we played desperately, so it was good.
For Alex Tuck, when that momentum shifts in the second period and it builds into the third, is there a time where you feel that momentum change and you know it's time to seize upon the moment and get after it in the game?
Yeah, I mean, you never really know when the opportunity to strike is going to happen. I think our group, first couple games, we stayed a little bit too patient at times, but I think this game, I thought we had a great first period, especially on the road. Outshot the opponent, really matched their intensity. Had a couple great A's early on. Probably gave up a little bit too much, but I thought we did a little bit better job defensively in the second period that ended up causing some chances our way. And just continue to push, continue to play the right way. And lucky enough, we got the go-ahead one there in early in the third.
Respect for Noah Oslin. Just what stood out about him tonight that he was able to jump right into the fray and, you know, do what he did tonight?
I mean, yeah, jumping right in. He hasn't played the game in a couple weeks. First ever playoff hockey game in his rookie year. You guys got 1-1. I mean, that's special. I mean, the hockey IQ is off the charts. The skill is off the charts. But honestly, the compete. He went in there and competed every single shift and made a difference every single shift. And he was phenomenal tonight. And we need our depth. That's what's going to happen. A lot of guys in our room don't know how we need to use everybody. And I was really happy how much depth we went out and got during the deadline. And we're going to need everyone going forward because you never know what will happen or who will go down or who's going to be healthy and who's ready to go. So I think that's some of the keys to success in the playoffs is having that depth. It was awesome for him to jump in there and have success, and we're going to need him going forward.
For Alex Lyon, any thoughts back to 3 years ago against this team in the playoffs? Any flashbacks?
Definitely some familiar feels. That's my only NHL playing experience, obviously. So a little bit, just like the bus ride and stuff like that. It was a little familiar, but feels different too at the same time. Obviously have a much bigger hand in this team than I did that Florida team. So just feeling really excited and feeling really appreciative of the opportunity right now, and just really trying to enjoy every moment as much as I can. And they're so fleeting, you know, playing NHL playoff games. So just trying to really soak everything up.
Guys, if I could ask you each one question, Alex Tuck, it seemed like right off the bat you guys set a tone. You guys were on it. You were on them. You were causing turnovers. Did you feel you needed to and did set that tone right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, this is not an easy arena to play in. They've had a lot of success at home this year, and it's been a challenge even for our team throughout the season. Well, a couple of games we came in and played, and we wanted that mindset of coming in and just going to work right away. No matter what happens, they score one or two goals, we just got to keep working, keep going. We have a lot of faith and a lot of confidence in our group. We know we can bury a couple goals, and we're going to keep pushing towards that, but we just had to make sure we were playing good defense tonight and matching their intensity. I thought we did a good job with that.
Lyon, at 33 years old, do you still get butterflies before a game like this?
I get really nervous before every game, honestly. Blue and white preseason game amongst the Sabres, any preseason game, game five of the regular season, it's sometimes in practice I get really nervous, so that's just part of who I am. And but it's fun too. I just have learned to deal with it and kind of enjoy that part of it a little bit and not let it deter me at all. Like I said, I just tried to enjoy the night tonight. I like playing here. Like Tucky said, it's a tough building to play in, and they have obviously had a lot of success at home this year, but it's also one of the most, you know, special places to play in my mind. Again, just trying to soak up everything.
Last one. Alex Lyon, penalty shot was obviously a big turning point in the game. Would you rather face one shot and have be done, or over a penalty, a power play where they might have sustained attack?
That's a great question. I don't really know if I have an answer for you. I mean, everything's very circumstantial. We've had a lot of success in our penalty kill this year, and I think we have a lot of confidence in our penalty kill, and that definitely plays a factor. Arvidsson's he's a pretty good player, and to be honest with you, every player in this league has the ability to score on penalty shots. So, I don't know. I guess it's just more circumstantial, don't really have a definitive answer one way or the other.
All right, that is Sabre goaltender Alex Lyon and Sabre forward Alex Tuck as the Sabres win by a score of 3-1. Take a 2-1 series lead in this best of seven. Game four will be on Sunday at 2 p.m. We're going to hear from Lindy Ruff, so don't go anywhere. He's going to be up next at the podium in TD Garden in Boston. But a reminder that all of our locker room reports tonight, they're brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Yeah, we're going to hear from Noah Oslin also, too. Paul is going to get a chance. Paul did just talk with him in the locker room, so we're doing live at the podium, and then we'll have some locker room interviews as well. Paul did speak with Oslin, so we definitely going to want to hear that coming up here shortly. As Tuck said, how about that? A 1-1 night for him in his playoff debut. Very, very impressive for sure with how he comes in. Obviously, you know, whether or not he was coming in for Norris or for Dunn, whatever. I mean, in terms of the lineup spot, he's coming in for Norris, but what an opportunity for him. That play that he makes at the end of the game, the speed, then the work, then the smarts to kind of not even, you know, the way he's able to slither through the guys there. I mean, just really, really impressive stuff there for a guy that's playing in his first ever playoff game. He looked so relaxed in that moment. The pass he makes to Byram, and Paul has always said he's such a smart player. That was really, really good vision. And, you know, that's a huge swing, as I mentioned. Arvidsson's penalty shot is a miss, and then a minute eight later, Oslin gets Byram. And it seems as though from that point forward, I thought the Sabres were definitely the better team so far. We're going to call that whole sequence right there the game-changer moment. The penalty shot stopped by Lyon, and then Oslin setting up Byram to get Buffalo on the board. The game-changer moment right there, presented by Buffalo Law. When one moment changes everything, choose the right team. Visit Buffalo Law. Again, stick with us here on the post game. Brian Colesio with you. Lindy Ruff coming up live from Boston any moment. We'll take you there as soon as it's done. And then more from the locker room, including Paul's interview with Noah Oslin. If you want to get in with some tweets, we'll read some later on. Send them on Twitter at BrianWGR. And a little bit later in the postgame, we'll also take some phone calls at 803-0550. Our final stats are brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 10 for the Bruins, 7 for the Sabres. That ends up 28-25, though, in Buffalo's favor at the end of the night. More stats coming up. Here's Lindy Ruff live in Boston.
Gone to 2-0. Can you just explain, you know, just how the turning point that was in the game for you guys?
Well, definitely a turning point. I mean, really bad luck if you want to look at it. Break a stick and can't do anything with the puck. And he came up with a huge save for us and at a crucial time of the game.
Andy, this is really the first time all series you've played with the lead. How did you see maybe Boston changed their game a bit in chasing the game and the way you guys really locked in and defended?
No, you know, I think I talked about our game where we needed better puck play. I thought our puck play throughout the game was really good. Our passing was good. You know, that led to better team speed. I don't think they changed their game. They're really good at how they play, and we have to focus on how we play. And I said before this started, you got two good teams that are playing hockey against each other.
Well, I thought he was very good tonight.
I thought both goalies, both teams left some high-quality stuff out there. You know, even the third period, I think we hit, Greenway hit a post, Zucker hit a crossbar. The opportunities were there. I thought Alex made some cross-ice passes, even a couple in the first period. You know, that I think frustrated them a little bit. But at the same time, you know, our power play let Swayman off the hook. We had an empty net. Dahls had an empty net to shoot it in, and he chose pass. But there was some good stuff there, and both goaltenders made some big saves at key times.
And Noah Oslin said he was a little nervous at the beginning of the game, but for him to have the debut he had, what's it say about him?
Well, you know, I think he said it as best he could. He's got experience. He's been in the playoffs. Everybody's a little nervous going into a game like that. I totally understand that. I thought he played a really solid game for us. Got a little disjointed with all the penalties, you know, where, I'd like to see him play a little bit more because he was going so good. But for a first playoff game with us, he gets an A+.
On that goal from Alex Tuck, you know, there hasn't been a lot of time and space out there in the series, but he had plenty of it there. Like, what was your view on the bench, and what were you thinking when you saw he had all that space?
Are you talking the first goal?
Tuck's goal.
Well, yeah, I just thought, you know, we had good motion inside the zone. We won a couple battles. I thought we did a lot better job of moving our feet on the walls, not getting trapped on the walls. Came off the wall. Tage did a great job in front of their goaltender, and that's pretty well the type of goals we're going to need to score.
That was an empty net goal by Noah Oslin, but at the end of the day, was that just heart and desire that scored that goal? I mean, he seemed like he put a lot into that.
He really did. The effort to get down there, the effort to out-battle, and then, you know, the scouting report on Pastrnak when he's in goal is you got to go five hole.
What stood out in particular about your penalty killers late in the third period when they killed off the interference penalty against Darlene and the tripping penalty against Tage Thompson?
You know, we weren't really happy with our first couple kills. We lost a little bit of our positioning, gave him a couple big opportunities, went through some of those after the first period, and I thought those last two kills were excellent. Made it tough. I thought we got a couple great blocks, but I thought the rhythm, especially those top four guys up front that were killing, and you know, the Timmins block, I thought Samuelson was really solid around net front and didn't really give him that, you know, that second opportunity after they shot a puck.
Lindy, sorry if you've been asked this about this already, but how valuable is it from a momentum standpoint when a penalty shot that you were able to withstand it?
Yeah, I think there's two ways you can look at it. It's a big lift for us, or, you know, because of a tough break, they end up scoring and they go up 2-0. It's just a huge momentum swing one direction or the other. So, I mean, that save is probably the save of the night.
Lindy, you haven't scored a first goal in this series. Power play is well chronicled, even though it got better tonight. But did you sense that your team looked like itself again, especially in the second half of this game, and had more swagger and just was moving with speed and playing the way you've seen for 4 months in a lot of ways?
I would say that I thought we looked like that the whole game. I liked the start of the game. You know, those first couple power plays were real good. Just couldn't get it to go. But I thought our speed and our pace of play and the way our defense were involved was, that is our game. And it starts with, you know, moving the puck. We made tape-to-tape passes where, you know, that generates a lot of speed.
What do you think about what you're getting out of Bo and Byram through three games in this series?
Yeah, well, there's a guy that has some experience in situations like this, and he's given us some speed. He's given us some goal scoring. I mean, that goal kind of reminded me of the overtime goal in Ottawa. You know, came around the backside and one-timed it before the goaltender can get set. But I thought a lot of his decisions offensively were real good decisions. I thought defending-wise, he was solid. It was a good night for Bo.
Talk about just one more, shift to shift, game to game. What have you liked about the way the group has kind of handled the highs and lows, whether it's within a game or going from game two to game three so far?
Well, you know, we've talked about the emotion of winning a big game, and then we talked about you got to get through the emotion of losing a tough game, and you lose at home, and you had all this emotion after game one. And that's the battle of the playoffs is, you know, you've got to be ready to put away a big win. Like, we have to be ready to put this game away and get ready for a really desperate team on Sunday in their building. Just the same way they have to put the game away and know that, you know, they got a battle to bounce back. So it's something that our guys, some of them haven't been through, but they've got a little bit of a taste of it.
As you've gotten to know Alex Lyon's personality this year, do you get the sense that he kind of enjoys the 18,000 fans taunting his name?
I mean, he just enjoys the game, period, and never put a lot of thought into the fans chanting his name. But, you know, I think anybody would fuel off of some of the saves they made. And we all know he's gave us everything he's had since the start of the year, and tonight he gave us another great performance. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff live at TD Garden in Boston, where the Sabres take a 2-1 series lead with a 3-1 victory tonight after falling down 1-0. Ball Byram, Alex Tuck, Noah Oslin all score goals for the Sabres as they come away with a 3-1 victory. 2 days off of game action. They will pick this series back up on Sunday at 2 p.m. In Boston, and then the scene will shift back to Buffalo for at least a game five. That'll be Tuesday night as the Sabres go there. Sabres will back at home to take on the Bruins. They hope coming home with a chance to wrap up the series. If the Sabres obviously can win game four, well, they'll have a chance to win it in game five next Tuesday. All right, before we break here, let's get you our three stars of the game brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts. Ready to improve your home's comfort game plan? Get started at BlueStarHS.com. Jeremy Swayman, star number three. He made 25 saves. Alex Lyon, Buffalo goaltender. He's star number two. He made 24 saves. And Alex Tuck, he had the game-winning goal tonight. He is star number one. The announced attendance at TD Garden, 17,850. Game four again Sunday, 2 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. All right, with that, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame show, which we, of course, wish you would, head to WGR550.com, click on that Listen Live button in the upper right-hand corner, or you can listen anywhere on the Odyssey app as well. Final score, Game 3 in Boston. Sabres 3, Bruins 1. Buffalo leads the best of 7, 2-1. I'm Brian Colziel. Lots more postgame. Tweets, calls, locker room sound, Noah Oslin, Bo Byram, Paul Hamilton, all coming up here as we continue on with the postgame show. Sabres win Game 3. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruins get to center. Here's a bouncing puck for Kastelic. Dolin tracks him to the far wall, hammers him into the boards, and sits him down. And the puck is cleared up the ice and a bouncer for Benson.
Hit of the game there, Rasmus Dahlin, our collision of the game. Brought to you by Dan Chacha Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's gotcha. Welcome back here to the postgame. Sabres take the 2-1 series lead. Game 4 will be on Sunday in Boston. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. 3-1 the final. Highlights coming up. We'll also hear from Noah Oslin. We'll hear from Bo Byram. But let's grab a phone call here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. And then we'll also have Paul Hamilton coming up. Let's go to Justin in North Buffalo first here on the postgame. Hi, Justin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
We're good.
I just wanted to talk about how the boys looked settled tonight. You know what I mean? They got the big win, the comeback win in game one. They obviously, we know how game two went. It just looked like the guys were, there was no more nerves. You know what I mean? They were just having fun. They were playing hockey. Lion obviously looked incredible. There was a couple times where it looked like he might have slipped or something, but still managed to make incredible saves. And maybe a little bit of a crazy take. I don't think our power play is doing that bad. Yeah, sometimes they get stale and they haven't scored, but Swayman is really just standing on his head and really making some incredible saves. I mean, if you look at it, our guys are in the zone most of the time on that power play. Really just happy for the boys. Love that we took that first game in Boston. And it was nice to see Oslin, and Oslin played well.
He definitely did. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate the call. Good comments there. I'll pick up with some of the things you said about Lyon. He just seems so calm in there, and then, which is contradictive to what I'm about to say, because he said, oh, I'm nervous before every game. I'm nervous before preseason games. I get nervous before practice. He's saying all these sort of things, but man, he handles it well. He seems like he likes even talking to the opposition throughout the game. You can hear, you see him, if you're watching the game, he's taking off his headset and all that sort of stuff. So whole bunch of different saves tonight, but of course the biggest one's on the penalty shot, but really, really a nice performance. I would guess there's not going to be a debate about who starts in game four. I think it's obvious as of this moment that we're going to have Alex Lyon playing game four. He certainly deserved it with how he played tonight. And look, if this playoff series goes Buffalo's way, it obviously necessarily doesn't have to end in five. It can go six, it can go seven, it can, you know, into the next round. What worked the best for the Sabres? Well, ultimately, it was a goalie rotation. So it doesn't mean it's the end of Lukanen. It doesn't mean that he's garbage. He had, obviously, a bad period, and Lindy Ruff decided to rotate it and go to Lyon. It doesn't mean that Lyon is going to be perfect the rest of the way. And, you know, obviously, Sabre fans are hoping for that. Their teammates are hoping for that. But I think having both goalies being so close to each other, so essentially playing at top-level goalie, or at top, at starter level, that Lindy's got two options. And right now, I think the best option for game four is Lyon. And you don't have to have it be locked in stone. You can make that adjustment, just as maybe you would make a lineup change here or there. He put in Kozak tonight. He put in Oslin. Obviously, the Oslin scenario worked out beautifully, for sure. No doubt about it. Okay, thank you for the call, Justin. Let's get another call in. Let's go to Ryan in Fort Erie next. Hi, Ryan. Go ahead. You're on the postgame show.
Awesome. Thanks. I can't wait to give a little bit of a weigh-in. Like, I heard the third star, like, went to Swayman. Okay. Yep. Okay. And then the next one went to Lyon. Props. Deserves yep. it. Tuck. Deserves it. But Oslin got 2 points tonight. Why wasn't he not mentioned there?
Yeah, he definitely could have, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to have a strong objection to the three, as you mentioned. But I think Oslin probably should be in there. That work to seal the game was really, really impressive. And he makes the real nice play to set up Byram to go in. So yeah, maybe, 2A, 2B for Lyon and Oslin there to get stars. But yeah, I mean, he was really good tonight. I mean, how about that coming in? Now, he has had professional playoff experience, we know, overseas. So that was a little bit of that. Lindy was very good in how he worded it. He said it's, the best playoff debut for us, is kind of how he mentioned that tonight. But yeah, it was really nice to see him step in. So anything else, Ryan? No. Okay. Thanks for the Okay, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. All right, Evan, do we know if we have locker room interviews yet from Paul? Okay, can we get Oslin then? All right, excellent. Noah Oslin, one goal and an assist, and according to Ryan, should have been one of the stars, which I would have been okay with as well. All right, let's hear from Oslin. Here he is with Paul Hamilton.
It was super fun. I mean, a little bit nervous, but it was fun and good. We got the win too.
When your team's up 2-1 in the third period after that Alex Tuck goal, what's the team strategy to protect that lead in the third period?
Just to keep going. I mean, we had a really strong third. Just keep it going, and we trust Al in the goal, and it's been great for us too.
No, what did it take to get that goal? I mean, you just worked. Take us through it. What it took to finally get it and to squeak it through there.
Yeah, it was a nice one. Good play by Quinnen to get the puck down low, and I saw Pasternak back shaking pretty hard, so tried to fake him and it went in. So it was a nice one.
When did you know you had Byram? Because it looked like he was behind you, and I was wondering how you saw him. But you put a perfect pass to him. When did you know you had him there?
Yeah, I kind of saw him all the way, and then Donner did a good job driving the net, so that lane opened up perfectly.
No, do you think just getting that goal in the second period kind of just spurred some confidence in this group, not having to wait till the third to kind of start getting the offense going?
Yeah, I mean, we've been having our looks. We had our looks in the first two, so that definitely helped.
You make a hustle play to get that empty net in there at the end. How'd that play develop for you, and what was the emotion like seeing across the goal line?
Yeah, it was a good feeling. I mean, good play by Quinnen, and tried to fake Pasternak, and it went in today.
How did you guys defend the lead in the third period? What did you guys do so well at defending that lead?
I thought we just kept going. We didn't think about protecting the lead too much. We just kept playing our game, and we know we're a very good team there.
What did you think of Alex Lyon's performance tonight in goal, his first playoff start with the Sabres?
Yeah, he was great for us. He's been great all year, and he continues to prove that he's a good goalie in this league.
No, were you feeling any nerves at all early in the game? Like, how quick did it take to get the heart rate up?
Yeah, maybe a little bit in the first couple shifts, but it goes away pretty quick too.
Thanks, Noah Oslin. The post game, Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul Hamilton. Noah Oslin there, as he gets that game winner. He credited Quinn, but yeah, what works? Skating hard, battling. Said he had a little nerves coming in. He talked to Paul after the end of the first period, but what a return from injury for sure. Now, of course, Josh Norris, if you can get him back going, that's also another possibility there in terms of what Lindy Ruff can do with the lineup. But for Oslin, he's back. I would assume he's going nowhere fast in terms of playing. Norris day to day. So we'll see if there's an update. Two more days before the Sabres play again on Sunday afternoon. That's your injury report. It's brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. All right, we still have highlights to come. Still have Paul Hamilton to come. But let's head back to the room. Let's hear from one of Buffalo's goal scorers who also had a goal and an assist tonight, Bo Byram. Here is Byram with Paul.
Well, Bo, a lot of hard work went into that third period. How were you able to defend that lead and be successful?
I think just how we've done it all year, you know. We've learned our lesson that sitting back and letting them come at us doesn't work. So, you know, keep the pressure on them, keep making them defend, and keeps you out of your own zone.
What in particular about your team's penalty killers in the third period stood out, especially killing off those penalties to Dahlin and Thompson late?
First off, I think, Clotter did a real good job in the circle, won a couple big draws and get it down the ice. And then, our PKs had a good stand at the blue all year. And I thought they've, made it tough on them, didn't really let them get set and ended up in two big kills.
What do you think about the juice like on the bench and just getting that save from Lyon and the penalty shot?
Yeah, it was big. It could have been a turning point in the game, but Lyon made a great save. Made a few really, really good saves tonight. So, definitely had his best performance for us, which we appreciate.
Well, are you to the point with Noah Oslin that you know he's going to find you? I mean, it looked like he had his back to you. And next thing you know, the pass is on your stick. I mean, are you just to the point with him you know it's coming?
Yeah, honestly, kind of surprised me a bit there. I wasn't sure he was going to get it through to me, but, unreal pass from him for sure.
What does it do for your team's confidence to pick up a win first game here at the Garden?
I think it's just a good blueprint of how we got to play. You know, we just tried to focus on playing our game tonight and making them keep up with us. You know, I feel like the first couple games we maybe got drug into the mud a bit and, you know, let them dictate. So, yeah, I think that was definitely our best game so far.
Did you guys feel as a team just a lot more like yourselves in that third period?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, when we're playing fast, we're a really good team. So we just got to replicate that.
Bo, do you think that had anything to do with just getting that your goal in the second? Maybe just takes a little bit of the pressure off knowing you got on the board a little bit earlier than the first two games?
Yeah, goals always help, obviously. But I thought we were playing well all night. You know, they scored first again, but, you know, we didn't waver or, you know, get nervous or anxious or anything. We just kept playing and, yeah, kept pushing. So it was good.
Did you feel you guys set the tone to start? You guys were in on the forecheck quite a bit in that first period. It seemed like you guys set the tone right away.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think us and them, you know, we're two teams that forecheck pretty hard, and it's a big weapon for either team. So whoever can get to it faster usually gets the momentum early on.
Did you sense that momentum shift, though, after the goal? Because it seemed like, as tight as it was, it seemed to go in your favor from that point.
Yeah, I think when we came in after the second, you know, we felt confident in how we were playing. And, yeah, I don't know. There's always momentum shifts in games, especially in the playoffs. So I think we did a good job of, you know, controlling it, what we can control. And, yeah, obviously a huge win coming into Boston, getting game three.
How does Lions' performance, especially in the first period, allow you guys to maybe release the pressure valve and settle into your game and not feel forced?
Yeah, nothing that we aren't used to. You know, you come to just expect it from both those guys, UPL and Lino. They've been making huge saves for us all year and keeping us in games when we need them to. So it's no surprise to us.
Bo Byram on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you very much. Paul Hamilton there with Bo Byram, who got Buffalo on the board on a nice feed from Noah Oslin. Alex Tuck gave Buffalo the lead 4-0-3 into the third, and then Oslin into the empty netter gave Buffalo an eventual 3-1 victory. Okay, Sabres win and now have a 2-1 series lead going to game four. Let's take you through the highlights of this one. No scoring in the first. So we're going to go to the 3:26 mark of period two, and that's where Boston gets their only goal of the night. Tanner Janot beats Alex Lyon.
Coming back with anything that could put them in any kind of penalty situation. Tanner Janot with a shot that beats Lyon from well out here on the left circle. And the Bruins take a 1-0 lead with 16:34 to go in the second.
Janot's first from McAvoy at 3:26. 1-0 Boston. Janot did a really nice job using Timmins as a screen on that play. And now here we get to one of the big moments in the game. A penalty shot awarded to Victor Arvidsson after Dahlin slashed him after Samuelson's stick broke in the Buffalo end. And the Buffalo goaltender coming up big.
Here comes Arvidsson, takes the puck at center. Lyon in the blue paint for now. Arvidsson to the circle in his right. Lyon tracks him and makes the stop. Alex Lyon coming up large with 10-10 to go on a penalty shot stop here in the second period to hold it at 1-0.
So Lyon coming up big there, and that, of course, officially doesn't count on his shot totals for the game, but for us, for sure, it's a save of the game. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. That kept the lead at just one for the Bruins, and then a minute eight later, Buffalo breaks through. Oslin, a gorgeous feed for Byram.
Oslin now at center. He's got some room to skate. He'll take it in across the line. Oslin down to the corner, far side, slides it in front, scores! Great pass to Byram, and he's tied the game at one apiece with 9:02 remaining in the second in Boston.
10:58 mark of period two. Buffalo tying it. Byram's second of the playoffs from Oslin and Power. A real nice pass and a quick release from Byram had that game tied at one. We go to the third, and here's where the Sabres take control. Great work from all five players on the ice, including Krebs, who was kept winning battles to keep the puck in. He eventually gets it to Tuck, who beats Swayman to give the Sabres the lead for good.
Krebs can't get the shot away. Tuck finds the puck, scores! Oh my goodness, Alex Tuck picks up the loose puck and he rips it home, and the Sabres have stormed back on the road to take a 2-1 lead in period number three.
At 4:03 of the third, Tuck second to the playoffs from Krebs and Byram. as I said, Power was in there, Krebs was in there, all battling here to keep the puck in, and then Tuck with that knuckler. It may have gone off Middlestat's stick on the way to the net. The Sabres, though, take a 2-1 lead, and that is your game-winning goal, and it's our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So 2-1 Sabres. How about the penalty kill late? Dahlin goes for interference. Thompson goes for tripping. And Buffalo kills both of them off. And eventually, with the goaltender pulled, it's Austlin into the empty net, battling, working hard to give the Sabres the win.
Extra skater on the ice. Arvidsson bumped off the puck at center. Here's a chance. Lifted to the net. That'll go just wide. Racing Austlin after it. Scores! Noah Austlin's first NHL playoff goal puts Buffalo up 3-1 with 1:24 to go in the third.
Austlin's first of the playoffs from Quinn with 1:24 left. Great work on that play, and the Sabres take a 3-1 lead and then go on to win it by a score of 3-2-1 and take a 2-1 series lead in the best of seven. Game four coming up Sunday at 2 p.m. All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, more postgame. We'll go live to TD Garden and hear Paul Hamilton's thoughts on this one. If you want to get on board, 803-0550. We'll also read some tweets as well at Brian WGR. We'll keep you posted on the rest of the NHL. By the way, the Bills, NFL draft night, they've made a trade. They were up at pick 26. They trade down to 28, which moves them from 91 to 69 in the third round, and they've also added a fifth rounder at 167. So they make a trade with the Texans. If you want, oh, they just traded again. Okay, we're going to have more news on that with New England. So more trading from Brandon Bean. If you want Bills draft coverage, it's live on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. So the Bills have traded down to now number 31 with the Patriots and added a fourth-round draft pick as well. All right, so moves from Brandon Bean, but they still will pick. Again, if you want Bills draft coverage, switch over to our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. If you want to have continuing Sabres coverage, we'll have Paul Hamilton when we come back. Sabres win 3-1. They're up 2-1 of the series in Game 3 tonight in Boston. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Spins that pass to the wall. Here's Lindholm. Far post chance. Lyon. Robbery at the far post. Somehow he got enough of that one. And now Greenway charged with clearing it out. And Malenstein one-on-one.
Alex Lyon in the game. Coming up with 24 saves, including, we know, the penalty shot. Big one on Arvidsson. Sabres win 3-1. Welcome back to the postgame. Brian Colziel with you. Again, just want to remind you, if you're listening or looking for NFL draft coverage, it's over on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. The Bills have still yet to select tonight. They've traded down twice, once with the Texans and now with the Patriots. So the Bills are now at pick 31 here in the first round. So again, if you want that, right now they're at pick 29 in terms of overall with the Chiefs, then 30th is San Francisco, then 31 Buffalo. So if you want draft coverage, over to News Radio 930 WBN. If you want more Sabres coverage here, stay right here because we're going to go back to Boston now and bring in Paul Hamilton. Paul, the Sabres offense arrived. Again, I know they would love it earlier, but they seemingly, once they got the lead, my goodness, how they played like we've seen them play for the entire second half of that regular season. The stress level was down. They were making better decisions. It seemed like kind of old hat at that point.
Well, really, I kind of thought they started it in the first period, you know, when they really were on it.
Yeah.
They were forechecking, and they were causing turnovers. The Bruins were just kind of tossing it up the middle. I know Dahlin picked off a couple at the blue line. He picked off a couple at the red line and then started the rush right back the other way. The Bruins didn't know what to do. They were being hurried. They were being pressured, kind of like the Bruins did to Buffalo in Game 2, where they were hurrying and pressuring the Sabres, where they couldn't get into their game. And I thought that really set the tone for the game when they got in there like that. And, you know, they didn't score, and they did have to chase the game. They gave up the first goal. But look at it. Look at the only goal they gave up. Lyon didn't see. It was a screenshot. Very often, Timmins will block that anyway. That's it. And he made some great saves on Pasternak, who had some good opportunities. He stopped a penalty shot, which you had confirmed for me that Lyon did actually get a piece of it. But even if he didn't, you know, I was still thinking that he just gave Arvidsson nothing. You know, even if Arvidsson didn't hit the blocker and it went wide, I think it would because of the way Lyon played it. And that just gives the bench so much momentum and everything. And, you know, to see the performance they got out of Östlund is just phenomenal. I am so impressed by that. I don't know if I've ever been more impressed by an empty net goal than that one. It didn't look at all like he was going to have a chance to score an empty net goal. But here's this little guy who's 21 years old who just showed heart and soul and tenacity. And I don't even know how many Bruins he beat to get that puck back. And then he had to put it through Pasternak, as Lindy said. He went five hole on, which is hilarious, to get the goal. I mean, I don't think I have ever been more impressed at an empty net goal than that one.
Paul, I know he's had playoff experience with his other professional play, but as Lindy said, hey, for our first game for us, he played pretty well. Yeah, understatement for sure. His vision to set up Byram there, I mean, just so good. I know you talked about just during the intermission what a smart player he is. And for him to just, you know, have that calmness to be, hey, I'm going down low below the goal line here, yet I'm seeing the whole offensive zone, and to find Byram. Obviously, Byram has to finish it too, but, I mean, obviously, the play is made from Östlund there to set up the chance.
Byram was with me on that, because I'm sitting there, how do you see him?
Yeah. Pretty amazing, yeah. All right, I think we lost Paul, so we'll hopefully reconnect with him coming up here shortly, as Östlund gets the assist to set up Byram, and then gets the empty net goal, which, as Paul mentioned, I mean, it was just incredible work. All right, Paul, if you want to continue on with talking about that pass.
Yeah, he didn't even seem like he saw him. And Byram goes, I didn't think he did either. But talking to Östlund said, oh, yeah, I saw him the whole way. I don't know how, but that's what players like him do, who have that type of talent and have that in them, is they just are able to find somebody like that and see them and know where they are and put it. It's not the first time we've seen him do that. It just, you know, again, he has shown again, all right, you've let me back in the lineup. You're not taking me out.
Yep.
I don't care if Norris comes back or not. Find somebody else to take out of the lineup.
Yeah, that's not happening for sure. How about the game winner, Paul? Let's talk about that. Tuck 403 into the third. On my notes, I just wrote down, I said, Power, Krebs, Byram, they're all battling to keep the puck in. There was multiple opportunities the Bruins could have cleared, but the Sabres won those battles. And then eventually you've got Thompson up in front providing a screen, and Tuck shoots it. So, I mean, it was a solid team effort by everybody on the ice on that sequence, I thought.
And how about Owen Power, who takes a lot of grief from everybody, and a lot of it's not warranted? Three assists in three playoff games. He's played three NHL playoff games and has three assists. And I've been impressed most games with him. You know, he's made a mistake here or there, but, you know, I think he's played well in this series. And exactly what you were just talking about there. And there wasn't a lot of room for the Buffalo Sabres in game two at any point. But look at the room Tuck had there. And then, you know, Thompson taking Swayman's eyes away. Thompson, you know, in right in front of the net. Great screen. You know, just like the Bruins had a great screen on their goal. Thompson does it for Tuck. I mean, Thompson just isn't all goals. I mean, I've seen him have some great assists this year. Back when the power play actually was doing some things, he was actually dishing off and setting up Zucker for goals. And, you know, it was, you know, if you're a Sabre fan, it was nice to see them finally have some operating room and then taking advantage of it.
Paul Hamilton live at TD Garden, where the Sabres beat the Bruins 3-1 to take a 2-1 series lead. I'll bring up a negative, but spin it into a positive. Dahlin goes for interference, and Thompson goes for tripping. Paul, both of them in the final 10 minutes. You can't have your two leaders doing that. However, the penalty kill comes through. Timmins blocking shots, you know, Tuck doing his thing, McLeod doing his thing, like just... the penalty kill's been good, but I hate that two leaders on this team are taking penalties that late in that moment to set up what probably was some unnecessary stress for that team.
Well, they're bound and determined to prove us wrong. Here, how many times have I said in these three games they're not going to get away with this power play? And sure enough, Zadorov took his stupid penalty that he always takes. I don't know how they're getting away with it. You know, to be 0-36 on the power play in April and be winning hockey games and continue to win hockey games and not making the Bruins pay for their dumbness. And I just keep saying, well, eventually they're not going to win the series, and they're just going to prove me wrong. They're probably not going to score a power play goal the whole series, and they'll win the series or something. I mean, just they are so unorthodox in the things they do and the way they go about things, but they figure it out somehow.
Absolutely. Well, Alex Lyon, Paul, I asked you after the last game who should start. I'm not going to ask you who should start game four. I think it's obvious he earned himself another start.
And then the one goal that went bed beat him, he didn't see. So, the way he played. As I said this afternoon, if you listen to Lindy, I think he was angling towards, I think, maybe getting back to the back and forth. But I thought I think I said to Brad when I was on, I go, but if Lyon has 37 saves out of 38 shots, he ain't going back and forth. Lyon's in goal. I don't know what the shots ended up, but he only gave up one and made some great saves on Pasternak, made some great saves on others, stopped a penalty shot. They say on a penalty kill, your goaltender's your best penalty killer, and he did have to make some saves, some one-timers on Zaka, I remember, near the end there on one of those. Pasternak. There was somebody else, I don't remember who it was, that ripped a one-timer on him that he was able to stop. McAvoy, I think it might have been. And he was just there at every turn. And he was nervous.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a second, but I want to jump in because the Bills have traded down again.
Third time?
Yes, with Tennessee. So the Titans have just moved into Buffalo's spot at 31.
How many second-round picks do they have now, like six of them?
Yeah,
they didn't have any when they started.
They have in the Texans trade. They picked up a 3 and a 5 to move down. Then in the Patriots trade, they picked up a 4 to move down. And now this trade with Tennessee, I'm still waiting on the details on that. But
so they haven't gotten a second round pick.
They haven't gotten a second yet.
I thought for sure they would get one.
They got picks 35, 66, and 101 from the Titans in exchange for 31, 69, and 165. That's according to the Bills PR.
So they no longer have a number one pick then.
Correct.
They have 35. They went from 31 to 35.
So they'll pick early tomorrow. Yep.
Just like Coleman.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Evan, for that. Appreciate it. All right. Well, okay. Now, Paul, the Lyon thing about him being nervous. He's like, oh, I'm nervous in preseason games. I'm nervous in regular season. Did he even say he was nervous in practice at times? He said he was nervous all the time. But then he said, I like soaking it all in. He seemed to enjoy the fact that the crowd was chanting Lyon, Lyon. He liked it. So good for him that he's taking it all in. Right? You know, why not?
I kind of know what he's talking about. You know, it's one of those things. I just remember the couple of times that I played for the national championship and just the butterflies that you have, but it's good butterflies. I mean, you think you're going to be sick and you can't eat for 2 days beforehand, but there's that anticipation and you just think about what it would be like if you win the national championship and everything. And then those butterflies do go away pretty quick. I mean, you make one hit or whatever. You heard Kozak talk about it. You know, this is his first playoff game, and he knew he'd have them. But go on the first shift, get a hit, and you're fine. You know, so they do go away, but you can use them in a positive way, is what I'm trying to say. Like Alex Lyon has said.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, we now have 2 days off in between. Does having the extra day benefit either team in any capacity? Do you think?
I don't think the Bruins are going to try to do anything different. Sturm is pretty staunch, and I don't disagree with him at all. There's only one way they can beat the Sabres, and that's how they played in Game 2. Yeah. And he said again today, if we don't play that way, we're not going to win the series. It's as simple as that. He goes, if we let them off the hook or let them play their game, we will not win the series. So they basically have to go back to what they do best and hope that they can outdo the Sabres in what they do best. And I kind of thought this whole time that maybe when we gather for game 5 in the arena that we're going to be talking 2-2, but now they have an opportunity to make it 3-1. So, I mean, it's the worst they can do is 2-2, which is great, you know. Yeah. If they come into Boston, win a game, and you go home 2-2, well, you're disappointed you lost game four. But at least it was there for you. So it's not like Boston's now up 2-1. And if you're going to go back 2-2, you got to win the next game. The next game is really important. Now it's pretty much do or die for the Bruins on Sunday. They go down 3-1 going back to Buffalo. They're not that it can't be done. It's been done, but it's going to be an awfully long haul for them to try to win the series.
The Sabres in all three games, Paul, have gone 0 for 14 in the power play. And in all three games, they've given up the first goal. That probably, if you would say who's winning in the series, if I just gave you those two stats, you would have guessed the other team. But yeah, it's Buffalo that's in front.
They want to prove everybody wrong. It's like, no, this is how we do it. You can do it your way.
They are proving us all wrong with our cliches of you must score first, set the tone.
And you want to score first, you go do that. We're going to do it our way.
Yeah. I'd suggest scoring first, though. I think that'll help. All right, Paul, great stuff today from the locker room and the podium and analysis throughout. I hope you have a couple of nice days here. Obviously, there's practices to cover in between in Boston, and then we'll obviously be talking a lot on Sunday with our coverage. Owen and I start at 11 from the Hamburg Tap Room. So essentially, Paul, we got like a 3-hour pregame, so I'm going to make you work hard on Sunday.
Well, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to come home and join you at the Tap Room. I mean, come on.
All right. You know, I'm going for the wings, so I'll save some for you.
I'm in. You know, so well, tomorrow I can tell you the team will have nothing. He's going to give them a total day off. Now, because the NHL does make the coach be available, so what will happen is we're going to go over to the Sabres hotel, talk to Lindy, but we won't be talking to any players, and then we will be covering a practice on Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good. So Lindy tomorrow, and then practice Saturday, and then game Sunday. Paul, thanks so much. Great job tonight.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Paul Hamilton live at TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts, where the Sabres win 3-1. All right. We are past 11 o'clock here. Let's take a timeout, and we will come back. If you want to get in on with any phone call, last opportunity to do so, 803-0550, 803-0550. We'll read some tweets as well at Brian WGR. We'll also check on what's happening elsewhere in the rest of the NHL. Again, if you want Bills draft coverage, go over to our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. But the Bills looking like they're not going to pick now in round number one with all the trades that they had today. I'm Brian Colziel. Sabres beat the Bruins in game 3, 3-1 the final, and lead the best of 7, 2-1. More postgame after this timeout on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Physical play outnumbering the Bruins down low in their own zone there to get it out to center. Big hit by Malenstein to the Boston bench. He took a big hit earlier in this game, so he returned the favor there.
No surprise, Beck Malenstein, physical play. No surprise, he led the Sabres in hits with 5. Buffalo on the score sheet out-hit the Bruins 38-35, however you value that. Malenstein had the most for any Sabre with 5. Is Dan Dunleavy there on the call? We welcome you back here along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for being with us here. Evan DePasquale producing. Paul Hamilton, of course, our reporter. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Kyle Powell on our social media as well. And Game Story, check it out, WGR550.com. Hey, don't forget, myself and I'll be happy to be joined by Owen Parker together on Sunday. We're going to start pregame at 11, so a 3-hour pregame show on Sunday. Looking forward to that. We'll be at the Hamburg Tap Room. That's where Shope and the Bulldog were today. So you can come out, hang out, and join us, have some lunch, and you can watch the game as well. But we'll be giving you coverage from there leading up to puck drop with Dan and Rob on the call. Okay, speaking of call, let's take a call. Let's go to Adam next in Richmond, Virginia, who's on the postgame show. Hi, Adam. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I was just trying to watch the end of the draft. You know what? I don't care that the Bills traded back. Sabres won tonight. who cares? It is what it is. And I've got a soon-to-be fiance that I've brought into Bills Mafia and Saberhood, and I told her, you just have to keep believing. They're going to keep breaking, keep breaking. She was like, we can't crack this goalie. And I said, just don't worry. Like, they're the faster team. They're going to break through. It's going to happen. And it did. And that's the theme of this team this year. You don't give up on them. They always find a way. They're the faster team. This team's incredible, man. I don't know what else to say. I'm running out of words. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Adam. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call from Virginia tonight and listening there. I'm glad you and your fiancé are getting involved in watching the Sabres. A lot of people have kind of gotten back on board with this team now, obviously, with their turnaround. So it's been impressive. And, yeah, for sure. I mean, watching some of these players tonight, I mean, the evolution of Oslin tonight in his first playoff game. Bo Byram maybe has been Buffalo's best defenseman here through the playoffs, at least on the offensive side of things. He's got two goals. He picks up an assist tonight as well. I don't believe he had an assist in the first game. No, so he's got two goals and an assist, 3 points in three games for him. Power has 3 points in three games with three assists. So those guys are getting it done there as well. Thank you for the phone call. Let's read some tweets here. As again, we can get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. We got some good talk from Marco Sturm talking about the contact on Swayman from Buffalo. He says, I'm still waiting for it to be called. Obviously, it's out of my control. Casey just sending a whole bunch of laughing emojis for sure. Let's see here. Claw Enjoyer says, I cannot be serious about complaining about the officiating. Sabres in five. Matt says, guy went from we're the big tough Bruins to crying about the refs real quick. Frozen Buffalo said, what contact? They're getting blasted into the goalie? When's that happening? For sure. No doubt about it throughout the course of this game here. Yeah. Sturm's, I'm sure, going to like, the fans are going to like hearing Sturm complain. A lot of good comments coming in here about Oslin tonight as well. Mike says, Oslin in the lineup for good. Don't even think about taking him out. I would agree for sure. Dan says, great first game for Noah. His work on that empty net goal was something I'm still so impressed with. No doubt about it, for sure. I agree. All right. Thanks for all the tweets. Appreciate you bringing those in again at Brian WGR. All right. Time for our scoreboard next as we see what's happening elsewhere around the league. And our drive around the league is brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. All right. Well, Carolina has taken a stranglehold on their series with Ottawa. They win tonight on the road in Ottawa by a score of 2-1 and now lead that series 3-0. So a big wing win tonight for the Hurricanes as they get it done and take a 3-0 series lead. Elsewhere in Los Angeles right now, the Avalanche have a 1-0 lead, about 14 to go in period two. Landeskog scored back in the first period there. NBA. Wow, the Knicks, they lose by one. Heartbreaker to the Atlanta Hawks, 109-108. So Atlanta leads in that best of seven series right now, 2-1. The Raptors pick up their first win. I know that makes Evan happy. 126-104, they beat the Cavs to get their first win in that best of seven. It's 2-1 Cavs in that series. Minnesota blowing out Denver right now in the third quarter, 70-47. The T-Wolves and the Nuggets entered that game tonight tied up at one. And as far as the NFL draft goes, well, if you're into trading back, you're happy for tonight. The Bills have traded back three different times with the Texans, with the Patriots, and with the Titans. And they now have going to pick tomorrow at 35. They've picked up more threes, more fours, more fives along the way. And Bills general manager Brandon Bean is going to be speaking momentarily to the media. So you can listen live on our news, on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. That is coming up in just a few moments. So as we start to wrap up the post-game show, I would encourage you, flip over to News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, just search WBEN, pop it up, hit play, and you can listen to our draft coverage and hear from the Sabres GM, Brandon Bean, on a night where he trades back three times to accumulate a whole bunch of picks going into tomorrow. That the first will be at pick 35. All right, 3-1. Sabres win and take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 will be on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, tune in tomorrow on our flagship WGR. Joe, Jeremy, Owen, they'll all be a part of the coverage starting at 6 a.m. Reaction on this game, obviously, and more thoughts on the Bills draft as they go into day 2. Nice that the Sabres take 2 days off so we can get a lot of draft coverage in, a lot of Sabres talk in, and then we'll pick it back up with Game 4 on Sunday at 2. Again, pregame, we're going to go 3 hours. Myself, Owen Parker, live at the Hamburg Tap Room. Hope you can come out and say hello. For now, though, we're going to put a wrap on the postgame. Want to thank our crew. Evan DePasquale, our network producer. Thank you, Evan. Great job tonight. Tom Matty is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. Kyle Powell on our social media and game story. Check it out, WGR550.com. Shope and the Bulldog are on the pregame. And, of course, our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. The final again from Boston. Sabres 3, Bruins 1. Buffalo takes a 2-1 series lead. I'm Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. We'll talk to you Sunday, Sabres and Bruins in Game 4, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.